Our first scripture reading is from the book of Matthew, chapter 21. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet. "Tell the daughter of Zion, 'Look, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey.'" The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest heaven!" When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God.
Our second reading today comes from John's Gospel, John chapter 8. It's another one of those interactions between Jesus and the Pharisees. So this is John chapter 8, verses 51 to 59. So I invite you once again to listen to God's word for each one of us. "Very truly I tell you, whoever keeps my word will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, and so did the prophets, yet you say, 'Whoever keeps my word will never taste death.' Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? Prophets also died. Who do you claim to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me. He of whom you say, 'He is our God,' though you do not know him, but I know him. If I would say that I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your ancestor Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" And Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The words of Saint Teresa of Avila maybe are familiar to you. They're words that have inspired many people, including Mother Teresa of India years ago, to go into her remarkable ministry. Think about what these words might mean on this Palm Sunday. When she wrote, "Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours. Yours are the eyes through which Christ looks at a broken world with compassion. Yours are the feet with which he goes about doing good. Yours are the hands with which he blesses now." And consider another story for this day. A story about who was then a very well-known speaker. He was a minister from the United Methodist tradition. Back in the 1950s, Dr. Ralph Sockman was his name. And he traveled widely, giving talks, you know, speeches and so forth, and leading worship. But he was also the pastor of Christ United Methodist Church in New York City. Well, one day he was returning to New York. He grabbed a cab at the train station, and he said to the driver, "Christ Church, please." Began to open his briefcase to look at some papers, and, you know, he looked up and they were parked in front of St. Patrick's Cathedral in Manhattan, this beautiful, magnificent cathedral. And Dr. Sockman was confused. He said, "Why are we here? I ask you to take me to Christ Church." And the cabbie, perhaps a good Catholic, said, "Hey, buddy, if he ain't here, he ain't in town." There is in all of us a tendency to put God in our box, to think that we know all there is to know, that our concept is obviously the correct one and others are in error. The opinion of that cab driver, "If he ain't here, he ain't in town," was also prevalent on that very first Palm Sunday, nearly 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. What I mean by that is that people were expecting a certain kind of Messiah. They were expecting things that he would do, how he would do it. The Old Testament is full of what scholars call messianic hope, where this was very, very detailed in the Old Testament. Well, they knew, for example, the Messiah would defeat their enemies, riding in on a great white horse of military conquest and restore Israel to, you know, the military might she had under King David. But we know that when Jesus came in, well, it was the time of the Passover festival. And because of the festival, the crowds in Jerusalem were huge, right? And the word spread that Jesus was arriving, that he might be that one. He might be the one, they said. Was he going to come in with a sword and declare that Israel was going to vanquish her enemies and be victorious? They might have believed that. That's why they shouted that word, Hosanna. Hosanna, which means save us now. And they spread branches and palms and their coats across his path. We assume that what they wanted to be saved from was, you know, the oppressive Roman Empire occupation, the tyrannical government of Pontius Pilate. But what they got was unexpected. No sword, no shield, no stallion, just a donkey. A mount symbolizing peace, the mount of a servant. Even the Pharisees must have been shaking their heads and wondering, what kind of Messiah is this? Well, of course, they should have known. Jesus never preached about military victories or conquests. He did things on the Sabbath they disagreed with. He never behaved the way they wanted him to. But surely they thought now he'll act as we expect him to. They had a tendency to put God in a box. But then what really confounded them was when he began to speak of himself in divine terms. They thought he was blasphemous or maybe even just crazy. And imagine their shock when he seemed to imply that he was greater than Father Abraham. Now, we all understand that Abraham is the great spiritual father of no less than three major world religions today. And Jewish leaders held him in a kind of reverence that's maybe even hard for us to understand today, that kind of just spiritual reverence of being the father, you know, of their of their religion. Almost be like somebody today, you know, boasting that they're as great a president as George Washington or something like that. It's just not accepted. The name Abraham means exalted father. And then Jesus said this incredible thing to them. He said, before Abraham was, which is past tense, I am, which is a present tense. When he said this, it was shocking to them, but Jesus was modeling something different, and he was ushering in a whole new way to think about God. I mean, no longer would religion just be based on only the law, although he came to fulfill the law. It was based on a person. If those claims are true that some of us have been studying in our Lenten dinner studies, we've been going over some of the so-called I am sayings in the Gospel of John. If we take those at face value, that he is the light of the world and the, you know, the bread of life and the good shepherd, then religion could never really be the same as it was. What used to focus on laws and rules now focuses on a person, the great I am. So if that's the case, the question for us is, how do we follow him into the world? And maybe more so, we talked a little bit about this at our Lenten dinners. What does it mean to be a follower of somebody today? If you have social media, no doubt you are a follower of many. And maybe you're the kind of person that many people follow on social media. Maybe you have many followers. It's expanded, I think, this idea of follower. But one definition of follower is very simple. It is, quote, a person who imitates, copies, or takes as a model or ideal. So how do we imitate or take as an ideal this person of Jesus, who rides into Jerusalem on a donkey? Well, he shows us that he is a suffering servant, so that's one clue we have to follow. And just like in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, we have to ask this question in real life situations. How do we follow him if you have someone who needs forgiveness in your life? How do we follow him if you're in a tough ethical situation in your job, perhaps? How do we follow him if you are grieving the loss of someone, like when Jesus lost his good friend Lazarus? How do we follow him in real life situations? Well, when we think about that, there's three questions that come up for me all the time. And that is, first of all, how do I conduct myself in a given situation as an ambassador or a representative, so to speak, of Christ in the world? Second, is there anything blocking me from actually serving Christ in this moment? And third, what gifts do I bring that God could use to use me as a servant in the places where I am right now? These questions can help us to think about how Jesus and his ministry can be a model for ours, especially on this Palm Sunday, as we're about to go into the darkness of Holy Week. Leonardo da Vinci was finishing one of his brilliant paintings during the Renaissance. And as usual, he's just surrounded by his students, observing his work. They're looking over his shoulder to see everything he's doing. And Da Vinci stepped back from the canvas and he said, now it is almost finished. And they were all looking at it with anticipation, and they were so excited to see how the master was going to finish this work and put the final strokes on it. And then he turned to one startled student and handed him the brush and said, here, you finish it. And the student said, oh, master, I could never do that. You are the great artist. I'm just a student. And Da Vinci told him, will not what I have done inspire you to do your best? So we're here inspired by the great I Am. He's shown us by serving the world. He's shown us this week, he'll show us by symbolically washing feet, by forgiving, by healing. We're here inspired by the great I Am to advocate for those who have no one, to lift up the powerless, to welcome the stranger and the immigrant, as the scripture says. We're here to be peacemakers. We're here to be inspired by the great I Am to feed the hungry, to work for the reconciliation of the world, to participate in our own way, in the active ministry of Christ in our community, to be his hands and his feet and eyes. As Teresa Avalon put it so well many years ago, ours are the feet with which he goes about doing good. Ours are the hands with which he blesses now. May it be so. Thanks be to God.